From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
How's it going? And welcome to a very special edition of On the Wire. Technically episode 43, I guess. And we're just going to go with it there. I am Adam Howe, and unfortunately, Kevin Hastings has no idea that we are doing this episode. So, Kevin, I apologize, and we are just going to go with it, as my guest, my special guest, mentioned. You can hear him giggling in the background. That is
why I never giggle.
Mr. Nick Pollock himself. Nick, welcome. Thanks for pushing us to do this.
I mean, no, this is, guys. I'll be completely honest. What happened is that we realized that there wasn't a podcast going out tomorrow, and Adam, being the best podcast manager, was like, "Hey, Nick, just to let you know, like, we don't have anything tomorrow." And I was like, "Well, let's just chat about whatever for an hour." And then he said, "Great, cool, I'll be free in 10. As literally, I'm finishing up my dinner, watching the extended edition of Lord of the Rings: Return of the King, which I haven't seen in like 2 decades.
Oh, you're getting ready for what? Power of the Rings?
Well, I didn't even know that was a thing. I was just like, oh, I've never seen like the extended edition. This is kind of cool. A nice like respite as I continue writing through the 30,000 word article that is the top 200 pictures. I'm on like 6,000 words in.
I didn't realize had like an extra like 3 days of like time to kill, because that's probably.
Yeah. Well, right. It's taken me 2 weeks. I'm at like the Return of the King.
If you sat down straight, I'm pretty sure that's a 72 hour endeavor.
But yeah, we decided, you know what, we're going to do this. We'll figure this out. So what are we talking about, Adam?
All right. Well, I took this opportunity. We did, Kevin and I put together three listener leagues on the NFBC platform, the 12 teamers, Fab. We are a Fab podcast, so it's Fab. 30 rounds, typical NFBC format for rosters, 5 outfielders, 9 pitchers, et cetera, et cetera. No IL spots. That's very important. And we did 3 of these. Yeah. And so Kevin did one, I did one, and then we were both in the third one. So I sent you over the draft board, and let's get your thoughts on.
I've got some questions.
Yes, I want
to. Is this a best ball?
It's not. This is a weekly Fab league, regular 5x5 roto points, or not points, roto categories.
Yeah, sure.
It's a.
All right, so I feel pretty at home here. There's no IL, but
no
like,
IL and five outfielders.
Sure. Yeah, some middle infield, I imagine, mm-hmm. corner infield, maybe two. All right.
Same roster construction as TGFBI would be.
Is it weekly or is it daily?
So NFBC, all leagues are weekly for the pitchers, and you can switch out your hitters on Friday.
Right. Okay. So that means, for example, I mean, I'm already spoiling, don't care. I see you took Ohtani in the first round. You get to decide if it's pitcher or hitter.
Correct. And you wouldn't be able to switch them back in that week.
Yeah, you're never doing him as a pitcher, are you?
No, it would be, I'd have to be pretty desperate, in my opinion. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And Adam, you are a man that is never desperate. So that makes a lot of sense. If you guys realize, we have not prepared a single thing for this. This is just two guys hanging out,
talking about a draft,
kind of late at night, and it's cool. So why Ohtani? I mean, I'm actually really shocked. I see Freddie Freeman going at 7. I don't think I've seen him that high.
That definitely shocked me as well. Did not expect that right before me. So when that went, I was like, I've done a handful of drafts so far this year, and I wasn't able to draft Ohtani yet. So this seemed like a 12 teamer, taking a little bit of that extra risk. I think there's a lot of questions about whether or not he can repeat, and if the health can continue as he showed it last year. So I wanted to take that risk in a 12 teamer rather than one of my draft champions leagues that are 15 teamers and a whole lot, risk. I'm a little bit more risk averse in those scenarios.
Well, you say, but you're taking Acuna in the second round, but that's May, it's essentially that draft spot. is, or the roster spot's kind of tough. It's 30, you said? Is it
30 reps?
Like what? Right. So it's like, I'm just putting in my head, that's 4 or 5 bench spots, because you have you have 4 extra hitters. So I'm trying to get guys. I'm just doing it based on like 12 teamer stuff. You have start 7 pitchers a week, correct?
There's 7 bench spots and there are 9 yeah, okay. pitcher spots.
Oh, wow.
And they're just okay. pitcher, no starting pitcher, no relief pitcher. Right, it's just pitcher.
Yeah, I really should be more versed in this. By the way, I've already said that I'm going to try. I have no guarantee. I'm going to be looking into possibly doing NFBC this year. So I'm just throwing it out there. I know a lot of people criticize, you know, like, Nick, you haven't done an NFBC. You haven't done a true 15-teamer. I've done 15-teamers. But I haven't really put my, you know, money where my mouth is when it comes to NFBC. So,
well, if you do, you tell me what league that is, and I will set aside some cash, and I'll make sure I jump in that one.
Oh, you want to be in it? Okay. Well, I will say, if I am doing it, I'm doing it with someone else,
right.
like, who does the hitting stuff, and I do the pitching stuff. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I could don't toe-to-toe with it as like anybody else. That's not me at all. Okay.
No, that's what I do in the League of Leagues, in the 3-sport league that we do in the Pitcherless Discord.
You split it up. You have a co-manager.
Adam Sloat is my co-manager. He does all the football stuff. Almost all the basketball stuff.
And then we split baseball. Manager, yeah. The baseball manager does the football stuff. Just want
to. It's mostly me wanting to just wash my hands of it, not wanting much to do with it. And
yeah,
he got us into second place. So we got lots of points in that league. So
look at that. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you just know how to surround yourself with good people. Clearly you picked Adam, the other Adam. Or did you just want to be
Adam
like-
Squared? No, that's our team name. We're Adam Squared. Or
gotcha.
Somebody else called us the Too Many Adams team. So that fits as well.
Well, you know, if it was just Adam and Adam, then like I think human civilization wouldn't have worked. I like the idea of that, but that's just unfortunately would not help the next generation existing. Anyway, Ohtani Acuña Jr. I see this. Wow, I'm actually surprised. Walker Buehler, end of the first round, as the number 2 SP.
Yeah, leaving Cole on the board.
I don't know how much of my top 20 I should reveal on this. I don't have Walker Buehler at number 2. I don't. And I don't have Max Scherzer at number 4 either. So I'm already feeling like there's ample opportunity here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that will lead me to a question about, I mean, a previous draft I've done where I actually ended up drafting Woodruff. As he was the third pitcher off the board. It was in the first round. It was a 15-teamer. So what are your thoughts on Woodruff
as the number 3?
As the number 3 overall.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts for it first. Like what drew you to Woodruff as 3? I mean, I imagine it's Cole and Burns 1-2.
It was either Burns Cole or Cole Burns. Yeah, I forget which
Who cares? It's whatever. Just go with your thing. If you want to be with CM Montgomery, then all right. You know, C. Montgomery, by all means, if you want to.
Yeah, this is the draft I did probably at least a month and a half ago or so. Mm-hmm. So I think what was probably going through my head at the time was just the upside of mainly the strikeouts, the strikeout rate in general with Woodruff. Being able to see him. Like, I'm not worried about park factor at this stage of looking at like what top pitchers are. So I'm not worried about Milwaukee.
If we're worried about park factor, then like why is Burns going 1A or 1B or something? You know.
Right. I just worry about whether or not, you know, I know Buehler has, as you always say, like the training wheels are off. You're not worried about innings or anything like that with him per se, but it's still the Dodger. It's still that Dodger mentality that you can't help but worry about that. And then, I mean, I haven't drafted Scherzer anywhere yet just because I just don't want to be the one holding the bag when he finally does get hurt enough where it actually keeps him off the mound for an extended period of time.
There's a great movie that came out in the fall, winter, and it was based on a book you might have read. You might have heard of it. It's called Dune. And they say, fear is the mind killer. Okay, Adam? I just want you to internalize that.
In a 15-teamer, man, I have a lot more fear. So my mind is probably dead. a lot more fear in the upper rounds.
I wrestle with this a lot. I'm actually going over my tier 4 now, which is really just a tier full of two things. Of either A, do we believe in the short sample of 2021? Or B, do we believe that they'll not be injured or slash or mm-hmm. too old and all that kind of thing. It's like filled with like Morton and Malcolm and Noah and Trevor Rogers and, you know, Logan Webb and all this kind of stuff. It's like the same two battles are being, you know, those two questions. And it does apply to Scherzer, right? Like, yeah, is he going to be, what's he going to be, like 38, I think, this year or something? And you don't want to be caught with that. That's something to be said. With Buehler, I'm not as concerned about the innings. It was 201, I think, last year, not including the playoffs. And we've always expected it. You know, we always felt that he was sure. going to be that person. He had thrown 180 essentially before. I think the concerns about Buehler, if I mean, again, he's so obviously elite, like you're not going to be disappointed with Buehler and stuff. But the concerns are about A, he had little issues with spin being reduced. And the fastball dropped in swing strike rate dramatically last year, sub 10%. When normally is actually like a strikeout pitch and does a really good job elevating it. The cutter wasn't that great. The slider was really good. And it's just, you know, with Buehler, you feel amazing fastball and you just need like one or two of those secondary pitches to be elite as well for him to truly excel. But I did feel like he got kind of lucky last year for that 247 ERA. And Buehler, there's a sense that, yeah, he's not this 30% strikeout guy and the ratios are going to be good. Great, you know, but they're not going to hint at it like kind of like Woodruff maybe. Like Woodruff has just been this absolute rock of 30% strikeout rate, 180 plus innings, amazing fastball, changeup and curveball that have been great. Like it's worked super, super well. And there's nothing really to kind of like expect otherwise at this point.
Yeah, I mean, so, I also think, like, I think I'm just really focused, especially if I'm gonna pick a pitcher this early on. I'm focused mostly on strikeouts, and I feel strongly that if Woodruff is gonna go the distance, he's gonna, you know, like you said, that 30% strikeout rate, and I think Steamer has him for regressing down to like a 27% strikeout rate or something like that. Compared to, you know, Buehler's or, you know, the mid-20s and what have you.
Right.
And that makes a significant difference over the course of the entire year.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that Buehler is a 25% strikeout guy, but I think it's a little safer to me with Woodruff. One thing I think that gets overlooked a lot, and I'm not saying that this is applying here, but yeah, when it comes to strikeout totals, volume in many ways is more important than being a 29 versus a 28. Because if we know that you're going to go 180 to 200 as opposed to like 150, that's kind of why I prefer Cole over Burns. Is he still had like 20, 30 strikeouts more than Burns last year because he threw that many more innings and we can depend on the innings for Cole.
I think that matters if you're worried about the innings per game versus the innings for the entire year. So if you're going to put up 170 innings over the course of an entire year, but you're never hurt, you don't miss any time, that's a lot different than putting up 170 innings, but you miss a month because of an injury.
Is it because you're in NFBC? You have no IL spot.
No,
you know, are you going to be dropping them? I mean, it's tough. I wrestle with this all the time because it's like, it's what I essentially call like a hipster. Oh, we expect 140 innings or so, 150 headache-inducing starting pitchers that stifle the entire roster. You don't know when you're going to get those innings, right? And that messes you up. And it's not always a case of, oh, cool, I get this guy for that many innings, and then I swap in someone else for the other. It's not always the case. Sometimes it is, like DeGrom, like whatever we get, don't get out of him. We probably should be replacing with someone else.
You're not dropping a guy, especially early in the season.
Right.
You know, if this happens in, you know, August or September, you know, people were dropping DeGrom last year because it happened so late in the year.
I felt weird. I did that list. Legacy League in like whatever it was, like in late July, I dropped DeGrom and it felt so wrong.
So wrong.
And I had no choice. Like it was, you know, thankfully I didn't get relegated. But I think because I dropped DeGrom, had the extra IL spot and extra bench spot then.
Weren't you in the top four, weren't you?
I mean, yes, because
you weren't getting relegated.
No. Yes, because we were, it was like one game off. Like that was the closest league I've ever been in. We were all tied like going into the final week. It was ridiculous. Fast essentially like rolled up his sleeves and was like, I need to win this week or I'm relegated. And he won. I was kind of secretly hoping that like Fast, man. Yeah, you got You got a little arrogant there. You let it go for a second. You know, these guys are good.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. So anyway, that was interesting. But, I don't want this to turn into the podcast about, like, Nick talks about the rounds of starting pitchers. I want to hear more about your team here. So team eight, Whit Merrifield, third round. Is that what I should be expecting? Third round Merrifield?
Oh, I can't imagine that you're going to get much of a difference here, especially in an NFBC, especially in one of the NFBC formats that has an overall format. So your online championships or your main events, stuff like that. TGFBI.
So this one did. This one is like part of the main event or
what? No, this league is completely separate from everything else. It's our own. The guys over at NFBC were really nice. They put together side leagues for us that we controlled who's in it and whatnot. So we do, we are going to have multiple. We have three now. We're filling a fourth one. We're hoping for a fifth one by the end of draft season. So we will have an overall component, but it'll be for bragging rights. Not so much for cash prize.
That sounds great though.
Yeah.
That sounds super fun.
It's been a ton of fun.
And that's, I mean, bragging rights really is what like the PL leagues are. Just don't get, I mean, the first rule of thumb is don't get relegated. And then the second rule of thumb is, for the love of God, can we stop John Metzelaar and Rick Grant being the only ones that play in the finals? It's three straight years that's been those two guys against each other, which is hilarious to say the least. I won before that. Just so no one, in case everyone forgot.
Before that streak started.
Right. It was this guy. I have my own platypus, the pitcherless award that you pulverized us. That is the trophy for winning any of these leagues. They're starting to arrive in the mail now. It's a very exciting
time. I was disappointed when I heard about it because I came in second in my league.
Ah, no platypus for you, buddy.
Chad Young beat me. I was like, enjoy your platypus, Chad.
Yeah. It's like the stupid plushie, but it's the best. Like, how else are we going to do this, you know? But Merrifield, I get it. Like, tons of stolen bases, good average, doesn't hurt you, you know.
Plays pretty much every day.
And second base.
And outfield. Like, yeah, that multi-position eligibility is clutch, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like Trey Turner is second base eligible, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that makes him really appealing.
The first, let's see. Tatis has outfield and shortstop eligibility at the top of the draft.
Yeah, I'm not taking Tatis.
I took him in our PL mocks our two early mocks that we did back in October.
Right.
But I have not taken
him. How much
did
I criticize you?
No, I mean, we went back and forth a little bit, but for the most part, you're nice on those.
I really should go back and listen to my own mocks and just sit there being like, Nick, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. Like, how does your staff put up with you? They must be done with the podcast and just pace around the kitchen and be like, Nick is such an idiot. How could he tell me these things? You know? Oh my God. Turner number one. Is that like, is that what you would be doing there?
I haven't had a number
one. I know
it's
Hastings. You don't want to talk ill of Hastings, but no,
I haven't had, I probably would.
He's not here.
I probably would because I haven't been able to draft Turner yet. So it'd be nice to have a share. I've had the number two pick in a draft and I went Jose Ramirez.
Really?
It's that whole, I mean,
it's the third base.
It's going around right now on baseball Twitter, right? Like the making fun of the fact that you can't have a podcast if you don't talk about how bad third base looks like now.
Oh, that's funny. I do it every single OTC because what is a hitter?
Yeah. So Ramirez, I mean, four categories, you know, you're not going to help my average too much, but the stolen bases, the third base drops off, yada, yada, all that good stuff.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. I see Alex Bregman in the ninth, Anthony Rendon in the 10th, and Yoan Moncada in the 13th. I'm like, third base? Whatever, man. 16th round, Matt Chapman. I feel like these guys should be fun opportunities. Arenado in the 7th? What? Like, I'm not going to take Jose Ramirez. I don't feel like I need to do that. Rafael Devers in the 2nd? Sure. Like, I'm not buying it.
I tend to agree with you in this format. In a 12-teamer fab league, in a league where you can make moves, in a draft champions league, I'm a little bit more hesitant. Again,
that makes sense. I get that.
And there are you know what, there are some decent third base options to back up them later on, but corner infield in a draft champions league dries up real quick in those later rounds, so you might make sure,
like, Bobby Delbeck and Brandon Belt, those become like the jewels of the corner infield, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they get jumped up just a little bit because you want to have those guys backing up the that position.
Yeah, I get that. Oh man, you're I'm just looking at your pitching stuff right now. It's like, my God, this looks great in 2015.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. Chris Sale, Darvish, Verlander, Gray, like Sonny Gray. This is hilarious.
Actually, you want to keep going? I got to go. There's more than one Gray on this roster.
You have three of them.
I got them all.
You should just call yourself Dorian. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you're hoping for younger days.
I put that up on Twitter. I'm like, I got my, this was my side draft mission. It was completed. This is my side mission for this draft. And I got it. And I got some really good recommendations for a team name. I think the most obvious and easiest one for me, based on my Twitter handle, somebody suggested this is Team 80 Grade. But obviously Gray.
Oh, that's
out.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. There's some good ones
I would just say like it's spelled Gray with an E is what I would probably call my team.
Well, I call it the putties. I went with you guys with you and Alex. So joke about that. It's the putties.
Oh yeah. Right. The putties from Power Rangers.
Yep.
Fast made
putty
that
patrol.
Joke. And that was so
team putty patrol.
I was taken aback. And I remember so distinctly that first episode as a kid. Where it's like, oh no, they don't stay down. How do we defeat them? Like, oh no, Power Rangers, what are you gonna do? And then it's like, oh no, just hit the Z, the giant
target.
Z circle on their chest. And I just thought to myself, like, what?
But you have to hit them in slow motion. And
I was seven, and I thought this is bad UI UX. Like, you know, even then I had an eye for this, being like, there's no way somebody upstairs, you know, for like whatever her name was, Rita or something.
Yeah, you nailed it.
I want to say Rita Skeeter, but I know that's like Harry Potter. But she can't be like, Professor, what do you have for me today? It's like, oh, I've got these amazing, amazing military men. They're like, okay, great, great. Do you have a weakness? It's no problem. It's just a giant circle where anyone would try to punch all the time. Good job. Like, this is terrible. I'm so upset. Sorry. But yeah, you have the putties with Josiah Gray, John Gray. I mean, I'm cool with a 21st round, both of those guys. I think those are amazing picks, but we'll talk later about that
stuff.
We'll get there. I think, yeah, Trey Turner first makes sense. I would very much, I think, struggle with second base a little bit more, I think, than third. Maybe not. I'm seeing all the orange right now.
Here's the thing. All right, so here's the thing about second base and shortstop, in my opinion.
Tell me, please.
Everybody says that shortstop is deep, right? There's so many. Look at all that light blue on that board, right?
But Adam, it is so deep.
It's so deep. But here's the thing. First of all, you got to remember.
So deep. It's on Jordan White and Christopher Weber's podcast.
but it's not, though. All the shortstops are so deep, but they're all so good, like in retrospect. So they're all the good ones
are
gone.
The first,
they're
like,
all draftable.
Seven rounds, yeah.
Like, look many shortstops.
Except for one.
Who goes?
Come on. O'Neal Cruz, baby.
Yeah, but he still went in the 18th round in this draft.
Is
in a 12-teamer.
Really? Oh my God.
He's getting, especially in a team in a fab league where, you know, you can make a mistake.
Wow.
You can draft O'Neal Cruz. You can wait a month. If he's still not up, you know, then you finally get rid of him. But
I believe in the lockout CBA change. I don't. I'm just messing around, guys. Okay.
The other that nobody wants to talk about. The other caveat.
I want to talk about it. Whatever.
Is the fact that if the season does miss time. Right.
Yeah.
If it does miss time, if we miss the first month of the season or whatever, they push the opening day to, you know, the end of April or into May or whatever, that gives, and this was the same, I think we were talking about this before 2020. It's like it gives all these players extra time to heal. It gives these other players more time or less opportunity to be held back. Like, look, Nate Pearson came up after what, 3 days of the season starting?
Well, I remember this so much. There's one player. In 2020, I remember waking up like and fast, like alerted me of this. I was like, oh my God, I've made a grave mistake. I had Charlie Morton at 38, but I should have him at 15 or 16 now. And what did Charlie Morton do? Like a 4.35 ERA, 9 starts, and have like the worst season ever for him. And it's obviously it was a fine assessment, but he got hurt again, essentially. But it scarred me. And I will say this, I know there's been a lot of recent negativity of like people don't think the season's going to start in time. It's really funny. I remember December, being given December, there was really good hopes. We were feeling good. And I said, just wait, It's not the middle end of January yet. What's going to happen? We're going to get an article in the first week of January that says they're not close to a deal and everybody's going to freak out. And that's what we're doing now. I'm not worried. I'm genuinely not worried. I believe the season will start on time. I know it sounds crazy. I know it seems so far apart. It's just, I believe that it's just a ton of posturing. I got to talk to the guy that told me, essentially had this take that I've said multiple times. I was talking to someone and they convinced me of this and I now I'm sold. It sounded like he didn't want me to say much about it. So I'm not going to.
Sure.
But oh no, I'll reach out to him and see. Like, I need to give him credit is what I'm saying. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's just posturing. Both sides need to say, like, we did everything we could.
Exactly.
And it's going to go right up to the finish line. It's going to annoy all of us, but we'll have a season. We'll be okay.
So anyway, all these shortstops are already getting picked. So,
sorry. Like, yeah. Please continue.
I personally am like, I've been waiting on shortstop and I've been actually getting, you know, hurt later on in the draft because it's like, all right. And they all go in bunches. Mm-hmm. They go in bunches. Like three, like look at this draft alone. Like three of them went in the eighth round. Correa and Adames went on around the 9-10 turn. So they go in these like bunches. If I miss one, I'm probably going to miss the whole tier, especially if I'm on a turn in most of these scenarios. Like, look, Lindor, Bogart story, back to back to back.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing to me. Because I get the sense that no one really wants to draft Tim Anderson, Francisco Lindor, have Xander Bogarts, and Trevor Story, right? I've seen this a lot of times where there's this just general sense of, yeah, they're all good, but they're not like really great.
Third round,
so everybody,
good. Or, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to draft them. And then all of a sudden, so you pass on them and then they all get swooped up and you're all, then it's like, uh-oh, and I'm screwed, right? There's this kind of chicken that's being played. I don't know what the hate is. I love Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson's a fantastic player. Xander Bogaerts is going to do super well for you. Trevor Story, I think wherever he signs, honestly, you just had it down here. He's still amazing. Francisco Lindor is actually the one I'm worried about. Also, Marcus Semien in the fifth, I think, is a steal. Everyone's so terrified because it's Texas now and they think that all of a sudden like Toronto was everything. Did you forget that he was amazing in Oakland? And I mean, the Rangers offense is better. He had a down year in 2020 in the small sample of 2020. And yes, the Blue Jays offense, when you have so many hitters together, it compounds the offense together. But it's not like the Rangers are the Rangers of 2021 right now. I mean, Seager itself already helps that. Semien is already better. Semien is going to be excellent for you. I'd be thrilled if I got him in the fifth round, especially after the Tim Anderson, Lindor, Bogart story thing was in the past. So,
yeah, I wouldn't be worried about Semien in the fifth, though. As you are looking at this board, you realize I passed on Semien in the fifth.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to pick after me. I wouldn't be worried about him at that point. I think his RBI totals are going to go down. For obvious reasons.
It was over 100 last
year. His run title very well might be right around the same, to be honest.
Even if he goes 90-90, you know, instead of 100-100 they needed last year.
I think the one thing that Semien really has going for him in Texas, you know, everybody says it's more of a pitcher's park now than it was, you know.
Sure, right field is worse. Yeah.
Arlington, sure. But Texas loves to run. And they let Nate Lowe steal like six or seven bases last year. And granted, it was like they were all in the first half and then he just stopped. But for the most part, the fact that they didn't even let him run to start with makes me feel more confident Semien can keep up at least the double digit stolen bases, or maybe even closer to 20 than 10. If he gets off to a hot start early in the season. So there's that going for him, which is nice.
And I think like in the way that we think about, I'm not saying that they're on the same level, don't get me wrong, but the fact that like Juan Soto still going the first couple of picks, Jose Ramirez, we like to give these exceptions to some great hitters, saying like it doesn't matter how good around the lineup is and stuff, like we trust them as a hitter to do well. And I think that fifth round Semien isn't giving enough credit to like Semien being a fantastic hitter, and it's we're doing so much of just thinking because it was Toronto. You know, there is I think Colton and the Wolf have a whole thing about they do not draft guys on first years of big contracts. Right. And that might be the thing that it's pushing it down. And honestly, like those are two very smart guys, who know a lot more about hitting than I do. So maybe I should be listening to that. But it's just, I don't know. I see that. I'm like, dude, the dude is great. I mean, if you listen to that, then what? Semien was a first year contract last year, 1 year deal, right?
1 year, yeah. But then you balance that out with contract year narrative.
Oh, right. They're saying the larger contract. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So like when Harper signed his and like Corbin signed his, and
very fair.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm with it now.
Okay. I think I fall into that with pitchers more than I do with hitters. That narrative, if I'm gonna,
how dare you?
But if a pitcher's gonna sign, what's wrong with you? You know, we'll see.
I'm kidding. Well, I'm trying to think of an example of a pitcher making their first year an atrocity, on like a massive deal.
I think
like
there's a lot of worry well with Patrick Corbin. There was a lot of worry with Patrick Corbin, but you know, he did well.
He did well his first year.
So we'll see how Robbie Ray does in Seattle. I mean, he's got a lot going for him.
I'm a fan of Ray. In Seattle. For a whole year. Yeah, it's better there, but the home run question is the thing with the left on base rate and stuff, but.
But for that, Seattle's one of the best parks for him to have gone to. It's very for that fair. Aspect.
Absolutely. And the fact that they'll let him go. You know, Seattle's not a place that's like, we're going to micromanage this. They're like, nah, man, Robbie Ray. Yeah.
Not a game like Robbie Ray. Sure.
Right. You know, he's going to be the sole ray of light in that dreary city.
There it is.
Yeah. I'm getting close to delirium. So this is like my dream kind of podcast where I'm just whatever. I'm not expected here to be super smart. That's you. So I'm, you know, this is great.
All right. Well, let's ask you a question. I want your thoughts on the thing that I know you love thinking about. And that
let's do it.
Is the current climate of relief pitchers in the first five rounds.
How dare you?
As you saw my fifth round pick, Ryan Presley, you know, the assumed set closer in Houston, right before him going Aroldis Chapman, Emmanuel Clase in Cleveland, Edwin Diaz right before that, Raziel Iglesias in LA with that five-year contract.
Fear is the mind killer. You know, this is really something to me. It's all because of the lockout. The only reason why all this stuff is going way up is because of the lockout. And if there's no news.
Yeah. If your way you're going with that is because there's no news, we don't know the other half of the league.
Which I understand.
Closing.
So you're securing something that you know, right?
Right.
What I would say then, if you have this giant fear, which is very understandable, then spend what I would be doing is I would, instead of chasing Ryan Presley and Will Smith, I would be spending those picks on elite starters. And then actually I'd probably do like one elite starter there and then do something and essentially push up everything by the rounds and get two or three, spend all the bench spots that you would have been doing on pitching or something later, like starters, just getting every flyer reliever you can. And I'm saying I would do four or five of these. I would oversaturate my bench with relievers instead, because I'm imagining the reason I oversaturate with starting pitching at the end is because I'm just trying to get one that hits into being a top 10 round starter or something, right?
Now
you're right. So I'm just saying, you can probably take some flight. I don't know who they are, but I'm probably sounding really dumb to a lot of people.
No, you really can't.
But that's just kind of where my thought process goes there.
We talked to Tanner Bell a couple episodes ago.
Another super smart guy.
Won TGFBI last year. One of the things he said.
Almost like he has a good process or something.
Almost. Yeah.
Almost.
We talked to him. He's like, one of the things he did in his draft was that he picked like random relievers that he thought could fall into the job for his last, four of his last five picks. And one of them was Jake McGee and he hit on two of them. Like, that's all you need. And then you drop a bunch of them in your first fab period because the drafts for TGFBI are typically in February. Right. So you got a whole month of spring training after you draft to figure it out and yada, yada, yada. And you either keep them around for a week or maybe 2 weeks to see. And then you're not spending money on Julian Merriweather and et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Every single 12-team draft I do, there are always 5 to 10 pitchers still on the table that I'm just looking at them going, oh, man, any one of these could work and stuff. I'm like, oh, I guess I can't have all of them. You know, I'm that meme of the guy holding the limes. Like, oh, my God, all these limes. That's how I feel often at the end of draft. So if you're telling me that you have this fab period before the start of the year and you'll get extra information on these relievers, invest in that. Don't worry. There'll be a lot of high ceiling pitchers still available to go for in a 12-teamer. I mean, I've made a lot of noise annoyingly. I don't know, annoyingly, whatever. I put out the whole thing about Tyler Beatty. Because I was just like, there's sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, let's stir the pot. And like, yeah, Tyler Beatty going 660 is stupid. Is he going to be an ace? No. Is he just doesn't deserve to be 660. He had, you know, Alex Chamberlain was super right. Was like, dude, he had an 18% walk rate last year with like a, you know, he didn't even go into more detail, but you know, 20% walk rate and stuff. He struggled in AAA, even though he was throwing 96, he's still struggling. Still, I say, okay, right, that was last year. Okay, he's coming off of Tommy John. Nevertheless, he's still throwing harder than he was before Tommy John, and there's a chance, and that's really cool. There are so many guys like that. I know that sounds crazy, like, oh, man, no, they're not. I'm like, yes, there are in 12-teamers. It's you'll find them. So, yeah, chase the relievers. That's clearly the prize here to find later on. So, yeah, don't go for Presley and Will Smith. What are you doing, man?
See, the thing is, I've been doing all these 15 teamers. I've been doing all these draft champions where that is more difficult to do in that format. Yes, you have more spots.
You're right.
You have
you're
50
totally
rounds.
Right.
Sure. But you're not able to make those picks later. You have to make those dart throws.
I get you now. I get this.
And so I just part of me was still in that mode. It was still in that mode. And instead of filling my bench with, you know, chance on relievers, like you just said, probably a good strategy, and I'll probably do that on my next 12-teamer. I filled my bench with prospects and rookies, which, again, I had the same mentality as what you're talking about with these relievers. Like, I'm going to take these dart throws in this kind of scenario. You know, I have a lot of shares of Torkelson, so it's not a really good example, but, like, kept going down. Let's see, who did I fill it with? I just kept going with it.
I mean, you have some really fun guys on your team.
Riley Green, MJ Melendez, Torkelson, even Alec Baum as a my last dart throw, and Suzuki. Man.
I remember talking to a scout who's just like, Alec Baum, nah, man. Even when he came up initially, he was like, nah. I was like, really? Like, why didn't I know you?
There was
like, having a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Zimmerman's Mining the News. He had just this quote. He's like, when they realized that Alec Baum could not play third, like could not field at third base. We're not sure what's going to happen there. So he's my last pick. Whatever, I'm throwing that out there. And so I filled it with relievers. With prospects who I know me. This was a bad move. Like, this was a bad move on my part.
So why did
I'm gonna have a hard time dropping these guys?
Yeah. Well, right. How did Bad Adam get the light? How did he step in here?
I need to build it like
Badum. His name is Badum.
Badum. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Maybe it's the morning because it's bad AM. Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm just gonna move past Presley and Smith. It looks like Goldschmidt was your go-to in the fourth instead of Olsen. Abreu are the others, I think, that would be in contention with as
that's
Alonso had
what,
gone.
You know, that's what Abreu's. Abreu,
yeah, three rounds later.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a lot of Abreu hate. And that's not
there is. I'm not a. I mean, I'm not targeting Abreu myself. I like Goldschmidt in this spot. Because of the average, like, I don't think Olsen has a chance to not kill you with your average. Obviously he has the power surge, especially if he does get traded out of Oakland, and he's already doing it in Oakland. So I get the love for Olsen as well. It's like, he's already shown the power in one of the, you know, lesser good ballparks for hitters, for home runs and whatnot.
Wow. That just sounds wrong, but it's not wrong.
It's somehow
the less correct. Beneficial.
There we go.
Right. There are more words we can use. They're better descriptors.
this podcast needs to go out tomorrow. There's not going to be any editing happening.
No. Why would there be? Oh, by the way, thank you for listening. Before we continue, we should hear a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
See, we almost forgot that. We almost forgot it.
Yeah, got it within the 40-minute mark. There we go. Not bad.
Yes. All right. Did you write it down? Because I'm not writing it down.
Yeah.
That's around. It. Yeah,
38.
That's fine.
This is a 38-minute mark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but that's not helping. We're not. They know.
Now you guys know how the magic works. All right.
Yeah,
cool.
There it is. Okay.
Goldschmidt is just the safest spot here in first base. I know everybody's talking about the Hoskins, CJ Krohn bunch at the Josh Bell bunch in the, they all went in the 10th, 11th round in this draft. That's probably where you're going
you
to see them all go
back
to back.
Rely on it. Like Krohn, trust me, is interesting. We've been talking about it for a while, but like, I don't want to rely on that. You know, I don't want that to be the thing I do. I'd feel honestly safer with Mountcastle, I think. I understand the hype about Krohn. It's just it always feels like, oh, but it's now, you know, we're chasing it more. And Mountcastle's just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good, you know?
Yeah,
even
I don't
name,
think, I'm
even
not
his
sure.
name sounds more stable. Yeah. Mountcastle. Krohn. That's a Krohn
What's
job.
Worth? What's
you know?
Krohn's
like,
worth?
All right. It's like, okay.
Wasn't Krohn actually a type of money? And then... You put worth
now,
at
was
the end.
It? Yeah, I don't know, Krohn. But Cronin worth. So he's worth more than Krohn. So I mean, instantly you got to do that. And I wish that Krohn acted like a normal Krohn job, which was like produced every day, but it's not. It's like just not. I got nothing more. No, yeah, that's all I got there. Are you okay with Josh Bell in the 11th? I feel like that's kind of. I'm cool with that.
I have no problem with it. It's just, again, not going to be, it's just not ends up being one of my targets at that position.
Yeah. You felt that like there's a gap. Okay. So like this is the thing that we have to do is we establish, you know, I'm all for what everyone's calling the Dussault method now, which is building your team bottom up, right?
Sure.
Like establishing the ones I want.
Nobody was doing that before, Phil.
Yes, of course. And
not
so,
at least not as well as he did it.
No, I mean, Phil destroyed it. Yeah. I mean, he hit those ones and it was awesome. It just put more emphasis on it. And so really like going to your draft, you have to establish, okay, what are the positions I'm waiting for? But more specifically, who are the players that I'm going to go in around earlier on later so that I don't have to get those in the second, third, fourth round. And then who are the players that I think, no, the gap is so large that you need to do that. So it looked like to me, first base, second base were the main two. So Merrifield and Goldschmidt. It looked like you had an attack for it. I kind of see Altuve in the fifth. I'm like, oh man, if that ever shows up, I'm game. But
Altuve dropped in one of our other leagues. Altuve dropped, I think, to the eighth round.
I'm so in. Yeah. I'm so in. I don't know. The guy still hits bombs and has a good average. And I'm sure he's not stealing as many bases, but like, it's four counting stats. I mean, four of the stats there. Like that's great at second base. You're not going to worry about any of them.
Yeah, you go. Well, who do you feel more confident then about, Semien or Altuve? Because they went back to back here.
I mean,
I would talk about hitters.
I would do Semien personally, but I mean, I don't expect Semien in the fifth.
Sure.
You know, Altuve. I'm cool with that. But yeah, I see you didn't go with a third baseman though.
I
right?
didn't.
That's the thing everyone's talking about. So, but you got Bregman in the ninth.
I got Bregman and. Right before him, I didn't stretch. This is about where he's been going. And
right
I
before it was Mark Melancon. Like, I don't, this is the world we're living in. Like, as a collective, we said, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to make it so that for whatever reason, Mark Melancon goes before Alex Bregman and Charlie Morton. You got to be kidding me. This is getting out of hand. You know, we gotta stop this.
I'll be curious to see where March, you know, I want to compare. That's why, like, I preach about this all the time. I try to tweet about it as much as I can. Like when everybody quotes ADP, it's really, really important that you know what kind of ADP that you are quoting. Like if you're quoting overall NFBC ADP, you're including drafts from October 1st to today. You're including best ball drafts. You're including
I always do the month.
Like you have to take out the best balls because relievers are going. It's screwing.
I normally don't do this. I'm normally not like, hey, you talk about something that you don't like on Twitter. I'm going to talk about something I don't like on Twitter. You guys know me. I'm a very positive person. I feel very hesitant doing what I'm about to say, but I feel it's a very dangerous thing. And I think a lot of people listening agree with it. And I think it's kind of a trend that needs to stop in some way. And it's driving me nuts. It's the player A, player B stuff. It drives me crazy. I'm sorry.
In the vacuum.
Because it's misleading. It's the reason the player A is going higher than this guy or that guy. You cannot, no matter what you want to say, you cannot summarize everything about this guy's value in three or four stats. You just can't. And it's an exercise. And I think there is some value in showcasing, like, how are we thinking about this one to identify it? But I think it's very often used in the wrong way. And it really just messes us up a bit. Like, oh, would you rather have there's a voting of like, who would you rather have, player A, player B? It's like, well, I can't answer this because
I need more information. Yeah. At the very least. Yeah.
You know, and like, you cannot simplify this stuff like this. So hopefully we can just stop that, you know. And I'm sorry. I feel really weird. I'm so out of my element right now. Because I'm being negative about something, but I it's more out of the positivity and fear of those that, you know, might get actually damaged by it. And I'm trying to think of them to add more good than to be on bad on the people that do that. I'm sure I've done it. Okay. Oh. Like it's all good. I know. How dare I? But I'm sure I have, you know, and I've done comps and stuff like that. And I get it. We have to be careful with it is all. That's all I'm getting. Okay. Cool. Good talk.
Good talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Great talk.
Yeah.
Well, best podcast. Oh man.
I grabbed Bregman as my third baseman. Actually, it wasn't my plan. As you saw, I got Bobby Witt Jr. the round before that.
He was so hurt last year.
I know that he didn't actually show up. We talked about it way too much.
Hamstring was torn off the bone. Off the bone, Adam. Okay, like a chicken wing.
That sounds awful.
I don't know why I like a chicken wing, but you understand. Like ribs that are just like they just ready for you to eat, you know? Oh, that was his hamstring. Oh, my God. All right, Bregman should be fine. We're going to move on here. Chris Sale, 7th round. Interesting. This is a very – I'm looking at – so, you guys, I've completed – I'm pretty locked in with my top 20 right now. I'm like, I feel like it's there. What I always do is I do my writing and I have them in a loose order as I do it. And sometimes as I do it, like I'm writing the thing, I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, I like this guy. I'm going to move him instead. And I change some sentences. I might have mentioned the rank and stuff. But I go through it and then I look at it again before it goes out. And sometimes like last minute I go, nah, this is dumb. And I change a ranking. I feel good though about my top 20. And this is not adhering to it.
This draft
how dare
room
they?
Did not have a chance to look over your top 20 before you publish it.
I mean, who cares? What am I? You know, what do I know? But I will say this. Yeah, I have. There are guys that are after Sale that were drafted before Sale. There is not anyone there that after Sale that I would have picked. So that's good. There's one that's really close. But you did. Yeah. I would have picked Sale in the 7th round. I think that's a good call.
Sale in all the drafts I've done, this was one of the ones where he dropped the most. I've seen him going not much, but you know, earlier than this pick, this was the middle of the 7th round. I assumed, as we were getting closer to this, I knew I was going to pick my starter here. And I was assuming I was going to pick Dylan Cease at that spot to kind of be my SP1 in this scenario. And I, you know, love to hear more of your thoughts. We talked about Cease on my mock draft, but
I am an absolute shock at the helium of Dylan Cease. I don't know where I'm ranking him yet. So yeah, he's not in my top 20. I mean, I already revealed that, I think. Or maybe I didn't, based on sales. Sales not number 20. But the thing about Cease is the slider was amazing last year. Like, it was the pitch. He finally had some consistency with the pitch, and the slider was there. The issue is that the other three offerings, a fastball, curveball, and changeup, none of those were consistently good for him. There were nights it was the curveball. Some days it was the changeup. Some days it was the fastball. More often than not, it was the fastball that got by. But it's not a well-commanded fastball. And for Cease to truly be more than the premium cherry bomb, and if you experienced Cease last year, you know what I'm talking about. Six earned runs and zero, you know. One night he'll have nine strikeouts and zero runs. The next he'll have like six earned runs. You're like, what the heck? I don't think that changes until there's development that's had. Now, he did have that last year. He took a step forward. There's nothing saying that he won't again. But I generally don't like drafting guys at positions that assume development increases. Like, it needs to be a situation where I say, hey, if they were just this thing, like, if they're okay, great. And I'm happy with that at this position for the most part. I mean, there's a chance, guys, there's a chance Dylan Cease is worse, you know, and he was like a 390 ERA last year. There's a chance it's worse. I'm not going to rule out the fact that, like, maybe the fastball and curveball aren't there more often than not, you know. Maybe that's a 405, which is literally just like one bad game more or something. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not totally buying it. I think Joe Musgrove is miles better than Dylan Cease, who went one pick earlier. So there you go. That's my two cents.
That's all I needed. Yeah.
Maybe a nickel.
That was probably closer to a nickel, sure. No, it's good because it's like, you're right. There's been so much helium, at least, you know, on Twitter, and, you know, you hear some people talking about it on other podcasts and whatnot about how, I mean, I think it's driven simply by the fact that he's 1 year older. He's got, you know, he put up the 31% K rate and everybody's just eyeballing. And that's what I talked to you about, why I picked him in that mock draft. I didn't pick him at SP1. I think he was my SP3 in that.
Yeah,
you
probably got him at like the 9th or 10th round, which is like, yeah, that's what I expect from Cease.
And you eyeball the possibility of, you know, over 200 strikeouts over the course of a season, even if he only hits, you know, 170 innings. And that makes you think twice at the very least when you're like, you're at that point in the draft.
Yeah, complete side tangent. I just got a text from a friend. It says, oh, I just want to let you know, I watched Love is Blind while I worked this week. And oh, man, you dodged a bullet.
You want to fill in our listeners who are not aware of.
Well, okay. First of all, I just want to say, finally, this is the first rational person that I've ever talked to about this. Everyone else is in up in arms about it. And finally, I have a friend that recognizes why I did what I did. If you don't know, 2020, it was like April. And I got a LinkedIn message from like the casting director of Love is Blind saying, hey, I came across you, Nick, and I think you'd be great for Love is Blind. I'd love to chat with you about it. And I didn't respond. I sent it to Fast as a joke. Long story short, all of a sudden, my first ever ESPN appearance is Boog Ciambi saying, so Nick Pollock, I think he should go on Love is Blind. That's the worst Boog Ciambi reference of impression. I started doing something and I thought, you know what? Boog deserves so much better because I absolutely adore that man. And he came on the podcast and was just the best person ever. So you deserve better than that, Boog. Your voice is golden. Anyway, that was my first ever and only ever mention on ESPN about me going Love is Blind. So now everybody, including you and the entire staff, was like so upset that I said, I didn't even say no, I just didn't respond. Everyone's like, oh no, it'd been so great. And I'm like, would you go on it? They're like, absolutely not.
Oh,
I know.
Living vicariously through somebody else. That's all
it is. It's literally my nightmare. This is my greatest nightmare, is going on Love is Blind. And finally, somebody, it was an understanding me, you know? And it's just a beautiful moment, Dylan. Okay? Dylan is not here. I don't know why I said Dylan. But I got a message from Dylan Burris. That's why. Great guy too. Manager, Adam. I was looking for your praise and your sympathy all these years.
And just
and you never
short.
Gave it to
fell
me.
Fell short.
I'm so happy my friend did.
There you go.
That's all.
Luckily, wow. Dylan was around.
Yeah, Dylan. Oh, man. I called you Dylan. Seriously, he sent me a DM, and I looked down. And I was like, Dylan. And I was like, oh, no, you're Adam. You're not Dylan. Oh, see, we're not editing this. Who cares?
No, we're not.
It's 10. It's delirium time, and it does not matter. Anyway, long story short, Cease should not go in the seventh round, in my opinion.
No, oh, there you go. The sum yeah, up that last it. Conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you went Bobby Witt, huh? Eighth round.
Yeah, Bobby Witt. So my main goal with here is, first of all, cross my fingers that, you know, even if there's time manipulation, which Kansas City is not really known to do, really, that it's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe tops, end of the month. But the news that came out earlier in the offseason, back in like October, November, is that he'll be competing from day one. He'll be competing for the starting third base job and not so much shortstop. So the fact that he could start the year within the first like 10 days
yeah.
with third base shortstop eligibility is kind of ginormous, especially in a scenario where I don't need speed on this team per se. But it doesn't hurt to keep everything rounded.
So what you're trying to say is when it comes to your bench spot, brevity is wit.
I think that's yeah. exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I got so distracted because as we talk about how I'm like, yes, Cease should be going in the seventh round. Alek Manoah goes in the middle of the 10th. What? Is this normal?
Right after, right before Pablo Lopez.
No, but like, is that normal? Is that where he normally goes? Like separated from like Cease and Montas and Berríos and Rogers and stuff? Like, because no, guys. Why would you be chasing the guy who's for a full season been a cherry bomb and legitimately needs to improve an area of his game in Dylan Cease over Alek Manoah, who has two very legitimate pitches in his four-seamer and slider and did so with elite ratios last year and a strikeout rate that hits 30%. Like, the innings should be roughly similar. Sure, you can probably say a little bit more for Cease, but I expect like 160 or so after throwing about 125, I think, maybe 130 across the minors and Toronto for Manoah. Damn, that's the one that really sticks with me. Maybe it's just Cease went too early. Lawler, sorry. Lawler and I always get in like the best discussions about pitchers. I remember meeting him the first time in person in 2019 before the season, and he just would not stop talking about Germán Márquez with me, and I loved it. I loved every second of it. Adam Lawler is one of the he's just so great. If you guys ever get to interact with him, you'll be very happy you did. But yeah, I don't know. That's just shocking to me. Is this normal? I imagine you just look.
Manoah in draft champions this month in January has an ADP of 93. So he's the 39th pitcher off the board. That's including relievers.
Yeah, like 20 relievers, right? Yeah,
probably in the top 20 there. This is right around the same. Like he went.
Yes,
this was picked like 110 or something like this that you're talking about. So
and Cease is what?
Not that.
Well, he's like, what, 85?
77.
Wow.
So he's the 32nd pitcher off the board in draft champions leagues in this past month, which there have been 14.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have Manoah overseas.
Well, I think here's the other thing, Nick. It's like lists like yours, when they come out, as they come out, I think Eno was talking about this on a previous podcast. It's like, as you guys start putting out these well-respected lists, it starts influencing
drafts. Nah.
It does.
You can't say this stuff to me. No, I will never, never, never believe I in any way shift ADP. I can't do that.
No, you can't shift ADP because there's hundreds and hundreds of drafts.
There's no way. Like
the amount of people that would have to be going strictly by your list. But the thing is that it's still... It still influences. It influences just, you know, a handful of people if they're all in the same draft.
You know, it's already taking me forever to write these 30,000 words. Now you're just going to make more me like, oh God.
Put some extra weight on your shoulders.
Nah, though. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. It's just, man, that, I mean, look, I'm sitting here, I'm like a proper armchair manager, just yelling at people like I know everything, you know? Whoa, there's even more craziness here.
All right, let's do that. Fun. Let's stop looking at mine. Just pick out the craziness.
I'm not looking at yours. Darvish is right in the 10th round. That's fine with me. Verlander in the 12th, I get, like, it's such a confusion. To me, I probably would avoid it because I think he's going to go way up or way down. You're really rolling the dice right now with Verlander because we're just waiting for that first bullpen that tells us he's sitting 95.
Sure.
And we haven't gotten that yet.
No, we haven't. I'm putting a lot of trust in the fact that he got $28 million for 1 year. It's not 28.
I understand that. Yeah, 25. But
it's kind of like the Kershaw scenario. If the Dodgers give Kershaw money, I'm back. Everybody's right. Back in, right?
And I do think that I'm looking at the guys after. Yeah, like it's worth the risk reward there. I think I might prefer Lance McCullers in one of the 14th, but because he's already throwing. So I feel like that's better, but maybe not. I haven't.
Are you biased based on the conversation you just had with the man?
No. So keep in mind, it's not. And when those conversations can pull me negatively or positively just based on the information, not because I know the person. I love Lance McCullers. He is what a riot. Like, what an awesome dude. He's so down to earth. So, like, just, hey, man, let's just talk and hang out. You know, there are a lot of times that this stuff can happen where they don't want to hang. They're like, okay, I guess I have to do this thing. Like, Lance, absolutely not. He's just the coolest. So if you haven't listened to that Talking Pitching podcast, absolutely do so. We hope to at least have another before the season starts, if not multiple. I will always say, like, he throws a slider now. Here comes the pizza. I think that's the funniest thing ever. Because if you didn't hear it, like, that's how he describes throwing his slider. It's like a horizontal chop with his pinky. And it's like he's serving a pizza, which is hilarious and awesome. And I fear for his elbow. But he knows what he's doing. So the crazy things to me. Carlos Rodon, the 11th, I think honestly people are overreacting. Think about this. I'll put it this way. He went 5 months of being elite. 5 months, you know? And yes, fatigue hit at the end. You want to know what's really great? He has 5 more months to not throw. And whatever he did to throw literally average 97 after going 93.5 isn't gone.
He can go back to it.
Right? I mean, sure, maybe it's not 97, but it's not 93.5. And he was having a lot of success at 95 last year. I think Carlos Rodon is going to come out guns a-blazing, and we're all going to love it. And if he's going in the 11th round, I'm not saying he should go in the 6th or the 7th because, you know, 7th round was like Lance Lynn. Like, that's consistency. You know, Joe Musgrove just did 181 innings. Like, okay, fine. But Rodon in the 11th when he's going like Tyler Molly, like, well, no, why would I? Rodon is, that's a case where either he's got a busted shoulder and you lose the pick. But I don't think you're going to lose the pick in like April. I think if you're going to lose it, it's going to be like July.
Midseason, sure.
And you'll swap it out, you know? I feel more strongly about that. I don't feel like Rodon would be a fluctuating IL stint or something. But honestly, if I had to be a betting man, I would say you're getting 140, 150 innings out of Carlos Rodon this year that are going to be well above average.
Now, when you say, like, when you're talking about this, like, are you also baking in the fact that he's still a free agent? He hasn't signed anywhere. You don't know where he's going to be. Because a lot of these guys that we look at, right? A lot of guys you look at, you worry about where they're going to go, and that shifts their ADP based alone.
Great point. So, like, Gausman, for example, went 6th round, right? And the only reason Gausman's going in the 6th round as opposed to, like, the 3rd or the 4th is because he went to Toronto.
And didn't stay literally, in San Francisco, sure.
Literally anywhere else. Let's say for Coors.
Colorado, sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, can you think of a worse place to go than Toronto? I can't. Right? Is there? I mean, it's just like, okay, yeah, all three home fields, whichever one it'll be, are going to be terrible. It's the AL East, so a ton of home runs, you know.
And every park in there you don't want to be in, sure.
Right. And I would say it's better to be on the Yankees. I'd say it's better to be on the Red Sox, right? So
he wasn't going to sign in Baltimore. That would have been a bad spot too, but he wasn't going
to
sign
Baltimore
there.
Probably would have been the worst, actually, come to think of it. But, I mean, still, maybe even a better infield, though, than Toronto. So, and the fence went back in left field, so who knows?
Who knows?
But I, that's what I'm getting at, is the only one I could conceivably say, like, oh yeah, ADP is shifting. But even that, I'm actually probably higher in Gausman than others. But Rodon, like, okay, he's not going to go to Toronto. Like, right? Like, that's not going to happen now. I mean, sure, maybe there's a chance that he does. I'm not going to change that now. No, he's going to sign with, like,
the here's the thing. He might do what Robbie Ray did. He might sign the 1 year deal to kind of prove him, pump himself even more if he can't get the Robbie Ray deal
did. That's what he just did, though, with the White Sox.
Sure.
You know, I think this is the time. He's like, look, guys, I was a Cy Young contender for 140 innings. Like, I don't think I need to prove anything more. Like, sure, that the injury stuff, but like, come on, give me incentive leading contract then or something. So I think you should be really happy with Rodon. Honestly, I'm actually shocked that Pablo Lopez is going ahead of Rodon, because you won't be concerned about anyone. It should be Lopez in that shoulder, which has been a 3 year thing. So I don't know. And he didn't pitch at the same level as Carlos Rodon. Those are my feelings.
All right, let's jump. Unless you see something else that really stands out to you. I know you love O'Neill Cruz probably later on in the 18th. But I want you to look at the bottom five picks. No,
Ranger Suarez in the 14th.
I don't want you to talk about Ranger Suarez.
Stop this. I know, no one does.
Look at the bottom five picks of every team. Like,
Kopech in the 16th. Sorry, that's great. I love Kopech in the 16th.
Which of these like bottom five picks like is your way of building your bench?
I love that. Okay, you sent me a screenshot that has Marco Gonzalez like blocked by the screenshot thing.
Yep,
very kind of you. I like Gonzalez more than Pineda, for example. So, that's fine. Who do I like of these bottom five picks? Tyler Beatty here. I'm just kidding.
Look him over. I want to shout out Kevin Hastings. Of course, he put out a great tweet. I thought it was something you should always consider in your last like pick or two in these types of drafts. Mm-hmm. And he was stumping for like Seth Brown over in Oakland. Just the fact that Oakland, and you talked about this last year a lot, Oakland has a very heavy schedule to start the season. Mm-hmm. And so if you can have a guy like that kind of jumpstarting your team, and I'm paraphrasing his tweet, and just go, you know, follow Kevin and get the full thing at Hastings Kevin. But if you have somebody like that who can jumpstart your team, who's going to build up the at-bats, or if you have a, you know, a pitcher stream the first two or three starts right away, that's somebody that you should be targeting at the last pick, in addition to, you know, the flyer relief pitchers and stuff like that. So hopefully I stalled a little bit and you had a chance to take a look at some of these.
I mean, I didn't need stalling first. I thought that was great content, so I just let it go. So first of all, when it comes to early schedules, I'm not taking that into account for my first pass because of all the confusion of the lockout and stuff. And I think it also, there are too many staffs that are undetermined with free agent stuff at the moment, so that I'm just not going to put any weight on it. You will expect an update in March that will have that implemented. It will be around March 20th or something like that. Keep in mind though, yeah, that's going to change, but really just change like pick 60 and later, like the top 60 or, you know, through 100 or something, not the top 60 really. Just to keep that in mind. excuse me. I would say as far as the pitchers go, Zach Plesac's the most interesting one. We've given up on Plesac, and that's not fair. I definitely think that there's an opportunity for him to get back to where he was with a slider and his changeup. And seeing that 26th round, especially a guy with so much volume, I think is phenomenal. It's nice seeing Steven Strasburg. Sure, take a chance in the 29th round. Absolutely. We all know what the ceiling is. I mean, he gets his velocity back. You'll know right away. You'll know in the first week if Strasburg is old or new. You actually will know in March because he'll be in spring training. If he's hitting 94 as opposed to 91, or sorry, sitting, not hitting. If he's sitting 94, you should feel amazing about Steven Strasburg. And that's 29th round. Sign me up. Tony Gonsolin's the other one, the 28th round. Currently has a spot in the rotation for the Dodgers.
Right.
Had a down year last year, didn't have a slider working as well, but maybe that comes back, especially when he knows he's going to be a starter through the time. You know, Dustin May beat him out of it last year. So I'm cool with that. Who did you pick? Which one's yours here?
Mine's a Christian Javier is the only pitcher that I picked in my
bottom. Oh, yeah, Jan Gomes and Rondell Richard. Right, right, the Balmy. Yeah, yeah, I hate all of them just because it's yours. I just want to know which one I was supposed to hate. Nah, I'm just kidding. Grichuk is a fun one because if he has that playing time in Toronto, he's always undervalued.
Yeah, he's, I mean, this is the guy in my, and in this roster, like he's actually starting in my outfield because my other outfielder, Riley Green, I when I draft these rookies, I immediately put them into my reserve pick in my roster so that I know, hey, there's a chance I actually need an outfielder to start, start the season. Right. So yeah, Grichuk actually would be my fifth outfielder in this scenario. And if they don't sign anybody, you know, if they don't sign anybody else to kind of fill the outfield out a little bit more and kind of kick them to the, you know, the fourth spot or, you know, DH, then he's somebody you can drop in the first fab period and pick up another outfielder. That's not a concern.
I can't help but escape this feeling that there are all these pitchers that are not drafted here that y'all should have drafted. Did Eric Lauer get drafted?
That's a good question.
I don't see.
Well, you can't do a control F on your screenshot.
I don't think. Oh, no. Wait,
yes, you did. 24th round, Team 10.
Yeah, good job. Good job, Team 10. Owsley, I imagine.
Good job, Shelly. We'll give her a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Shelly, yeah, absolutely. Of course it's Shelly. was Owsley? I bet Owsley was Dakota Hudson.
Owsley was not. Did you see him?
Dylan Bundy's a fun one. Just believe it or not, like we all forget how good his slider is, and he's going to the Twins now, and they'll need him to pitch. Take a chance on Corey Kluber, maybe. I'm doing this by like NFBC ADP right now. Let's see who could not have been. Maybe I think I saw Kikuchi getting drafted. Yeah, Kikuchi's in the middle of the 24th. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are others. I don't know. I was saying before, there's all these guys that you can just get up.
Reed Detmers?
I'm sure there are.
Reed Detmers?
Yeah, he's not going to probably start with the team to begin the season. Ross Stripling could be the number five for the Jays, believe it or not. There's Carlos Hernandez, too.
Nick Pivetta wasn't drafted.
Nick Pivetta, right? We've all... It's
Zach Greinke. Old boring.
Yeah, well, we don't know about him. Yeah, Dylan Lynch at some point maybe coming up.
I'm just going through the guys I know were not drafted.
Sure. Dakota Hudson is one I really consider. Luis Heal will be a while for him. There's no reason.
Carlos Hernandez and
Chris
Paddock.
He's someone. And Hudson was drafted?
No, Paddock. Paddock was not drafted.
But yeah, Hudson was not either, right?
No. I don't think Hudson was drafted in any of these. No. Hudson was not drafted in any of these drafts.
So, okay, let's just make the assumption. I say like, oh, I'm not going to affect my rankings because of the because of the early schedules, but I'm just like, oh, let me just kind of see what the early schedule is.
Oh, Carrasco wasn't drafted in here either.
That's an interesting one, too. What do you know? The first series is the Pirates and then the Cubs.
No.
And then the Pirates. So Dakota Hudson probably honestly would get the Cubs as a 4 or 5 and miss that second.
You miss both Pirates?
But then it'd be a 4-game series. Oh, okay. So like if he's the number 4, then he would get Cubs Pirates to start the year. And if not, then it'd be Cubs Royals. Like, I think Dakota Hudson might be great for both of those. I just throwing it out there. And then after that, let's say there's a Marlins series after the Brewers. I mean, like there's so much opportunity.
Cardinals have a nice little April.
Yeah, they do. Brewers, Marlins, they have 3-game with the Reds, but then it's the Mets, Diamondbacks, Royals. Like, oh my God. I'm just saying, Dakota Hudson, someone to think about. Man, it's already been an hour and 12 minutes. I knew we could do this.
Yes, well done. Go team.
This was easy. Yeah, we're dope. By the way, if you're still listening, seriously, help us out. Like, do one of those links from the ad. They help us out immensely.
Yes.
Even if you like, whatever, just check it out. That'd be cool. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody's listening. If you want to do one of these leagues and have Nick judge you immensely a future random episode, shoot us a DM on Twitter.
What I've done before? Yeah. Oh yeah. Where? Sorry. Please.
Yeah. Where? What's Twitter? I'm going to leave it blank. I'll plug that in later.
At On the Wire Pod, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
What I was going to say is that I have from time to time, especially in like February, March, there are like drafts that happen in the PL Plus Discord that they'll be like, hey, Nick, can you judge this for us? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. And I just jump onto the Twitch stream for an hour and judge your team. It's really fun. I don't know what anyone's team is. It's blind. It's stupid. Like, everyone like yells at me and stuff. It's, you could be a part of that. You just got to get PL Plus, which is going to be so much better for PL 7. You're going to get more things for the same amount of money. So
yeah, it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but with a draft board in front of you instead of a movie.
Right. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah. What? This is a fun thing. I'm glad that we did this. I had no idea we were going to, and way better than Return of the King.
There you go.
Way better.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've sat through. I don't think I've done the extended one. I'm not sure I will.
Over 4 hours is Return of the King. I'm like an hour and a half in or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad I could tear you away for that then.
Oh yeah, it was super easy. This is the best.
Let's talk about baseball instead of watching Lord of the Rings.
Right. Right.
That Go watch Boba Fett instead.
Should I though? I don't know. I gotta watch the newest one, I guess.
I'm hoping it all kind of ties together at the end. Like I'm hoping it's like one of those opposite ones where like you're getting one of those shows where like you're into it all season and all of a sudden the season or series finale is terrible. I'm hoping it's the opposite.
Well, I mean, I would think you'd hope for that. You know, can we call that, by the way, like, I hope the whole thing ties together. Can we just call that a rug?
Right. Because it ties the whole room together.
Sure. Right. Like, I'm just looking for the rug of the show.
Yeah. Just waiting for that moment where the rug shows up.
Yeah, there it is. Exactly. Oh, we should really start doing that. Anyway, Adam, take us out, please. This has been a wonderful time. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. Nick Pollock, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me at random. This was supposed to be just like an hour random conversation. And we decided to hit the little red button. And you guys, hopefully you got something out of it. And we will make sure you're following us up on the Twitter at On The Wire Pod. If you want to join one of these leagues, shoot us a DM. And we're glad to have you. Have some really great people, like you mentioned, Shelley Verchet and Adam Lawler. We're in this one as well. Some past guests, some future guests coming up as well. Ariel Cohen will be on the next episode talking about his ATC projections.
Yeah.
And we'll have Kevin back there as well. So on behalf of Nick Pollock and Kevin Hastings, who couldn't make it today, I am Adam Howe. With that, we bid you goodbye.